Happy Sabbath, everyone. Last Sabbath, well, before I had some instructions here. Vicki's telling me to look straight, and Brian said, don't move around, because he's always trying to give me those headphones, because I have a tendency to move around. And so I'm going to do my best to look at you in the eye and not move around and do all that, and because I get excited about the Word of God, and I get excited, and I sometimes do move around, and if you know anything about Latin Hispanic people, we talk with our hands, and so if you tie my hands down, I can't talk, and so from time to time, when I move my hands around, that means I'm getting excited. Amen? Okay, and I'm an amen type person, because I require feedback, and so if I give something that I think is profound from the Word of God and I don't get an amen, I'm thinking, well, this must be a group of the frozen chosen. So, you know, I don't know. So I don't. So we'll see. Anyways, it's good to be here. Just want to give you a little update. Last week, I was privileged to be down at the senior retreat at our camp in Siskiyou Meadows. And I got to tell you, if you're 50-plus, I'd like to give you an invitation to go there next year. It'll be the second week of September. We had about 75 folks there. We had a wonderful time. The food was fantastic. The fellowship was great. Lights went out about 11 o'clock on their own choosing, because you don't tell these people to turn the lights off. They do it on their own. And lots of studies, lots about the Word. We talked about our signs of our times, and lots of coffee. And it was really, really, really good. And God blessed us. But I'd like to share a little bit with you. Pastor Brian, as you know, he and Colleen are in the middle of moving tomorrow. And I have to give my apologies. Brian, I won't be able to help you tomorrow because I'm flying to Minnesota tomorrow morning, and so I'm going to be involved in several meetings. So you could all pray for me. I don't like wearing masks, and you have to wear a mask on the plane, and I'm starting to break out because wearing a mask does not suit well with me. And so pray that I can have access to the restroom in the plane a lot, so I can go in there and close the door. I go in there about 3 or 4 times every flight, so I can just go in there. I don't have to go. I just want to close the door and take the mask off, you know. So, but it's good just to be able to do that. But so just pray for me that I have a safe flight over there and safe meetings and fly home, and that God is good. But first of all, I want to make sure you all brought your Bibles with you. Amen? Can I see them? Raise them up here a little bit. All right. iPads, all that good stuff. Because what I'm going to share with you is going to be a lot in the Word. I don't have it on PowerPoint because I'm old school. Former school teacher, I don't like to have everything prepared for you. If you don't write it down yourself, sometimes you don't learn anything. And if I pass out everything, everybody just looks at it and just throws it away. And then pretty soon you don't. But if you earn it and you write it, you say, well, maybe I'll retain something from it a little bit. And so if you have a Bible, I want you to make sure you open it up and follow what I'd like to share with you today. I want to talk to you a little bit about your position and your perseverance and your privilege. Three different things. The key verse is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, which says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. I want you to understand that fake news is not a brand new thing, folks. On July 16, 64 AD, a fire broke out in the great city of Rome, and it burned for 9 days. It destroyed much of the city. Nero used Christians as his scapegoat. And as history says that he was on top of his palace there as the city was burning, he was playing his violin and singing. But he used Christians as his scapegoat. And persecution flourished throughout the known world, not only in Rome, but it spread out far and wide. He blamed the Christians for the fall and burning of Rome. I want you to understand that the Apostle Peter lived during this time period, and he was inspired to write letters to encourage and admonish Christians. It was probably those Gentile Christians that were brought in by Paul's ministry. You know, Peter became a follower of Jesus Christ with his brother Andrew. Andrew brought Peter first to Jesus. Peter was a fisherman in Bethsaida. That was his career. That was what he was going to do for the rest of his life. He was going to be a fisherman. He was the son of Jonas. He was also known as Simon or Simeon. And he was later renamed Peter, which means a rock or a stone. He was a married man. Lots of people didn't know that, but he was married. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and a lot of you know how many people were saved that day. Anybody know?
3,000.
You're real close. It's 3,120. Remember the 120 in the upper room? And so it was a lot of people for one sermon. Boy, I get jealous of that. I'd love to preach one sermon and 3,000 people accept Jesus Christ. But here, he went on to become a leader among Christ's apostles, performing miracles, opening the good news of the gospel to many, many, many people. But Nero made life hard for Christians. He defamed them. He blamed them. And I want you to understand now, in our own generation, Christianity, once held in high esteem in this country and has fallen in recent decades, has been defamed and we've been falsely accused. We're now a hate group, folks. We can learn from this letter that Peter wrote to earlier Christians. And that's why Peter wrote this letter to the Christians of his day. And this letter is now profound. And it's good for us to look at this letter that he wrote to the Christians that were suffering in those days. You see, in Peter's inspired letter, we will see the Christians' position in Christ. And we are admonished to persevere. And regardless of the circumstances of our time and of during that time that they suffered, and we are reminded that we have a privilege in Jesus Christ. So open up your textbooks, open up your school books, open up the Bible, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, and so I'd like you to follow along so you don't get lost here. I want to talk to you, first of all, this first portion is regarding our position. Peter writes in his letter, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter believed in the resurrection. He was an eyewitness of the resurrection. Do you all believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Because if you don't, then what are we doing here? We might as well end right now and go down to potluck. Because that's why we exist. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, to an inheritance in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice, he said, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He's telling these folks that they're going through temptation. We're going through heaviness. But we are reserved in the kingdom of heaven for Jesus Christ. We have a position. No matter what you're going to go through, we have a position in Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, notice this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of trials going on even today. The church has been hit with this COVID, which separated a lot of us, which churches were shut down for a while. We stopped associating with each other. I'm sorry, Zoom just doesn't cut it, folks. It doesn't. We need to assemble ourselves together. We need to encourage one another as you see the day approaches. I'm going to read this verse again, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold and perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, Peter was an eyewitness, but the people he wrote to, they had never seen Jesus Christ. Having not seen, yet you love, in whom now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. You've never seen him, have you? You've never seen Jesus Christ, but yet you believe in him. Amen. Full of glory. Here in verse 9, he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come before unto you. Peter talked about the prophets, that the church is established on the prophets and the apostles. Isaiah prophesied, Jeremiah prophesied, Daniel prophesied. They never saw him, but they prophesied. And Peter said, we have the glory because Peter got to see him. And yet, we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ because the prophets foretold of his coming. Searching what? Or what manner of time, verse 11, the Spirit of Christ, which in them did signify, when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You see, this part of the letter holds significant statements regarding the Christian's position, your position. It is important to know our position in Christ. Where do we stand? Because our life responses, attitudes, and actions are a reflection of our understanding of our position today. According to Peter's letter, here's what he says. Let me break it down to you. We have a lively hope of Christ's resurrection. Amen? We have a reserved inheritance. It's reserved. When I fly to Minneapolis tomorrow morning, I get there around noontime, and I'm supposed to check into a hotel, and I have a reserved room, and I pray that it's reserved. I have a confirmation number, but if I get there and they say, we don't have a room for you, has that ever happened to anybody? It's happened to me a few times. And I'm sitting there arguing. I have a number. He said, well, we're sorry, but we lost it. The computer must have ate it up or something like that. But I have a reserved room, and I have a confirmation number. I have faith in the computer system that I have a room in Minneapolis tomorrow afternoon. But I also have faith that if that room doesn't exist, I have a few phone numbers of brothers and sisters who live there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that they'll be getting a call from Brother Larry, do you have a room for me tonight? You know? We have a reserved inheritance in the kingdom of God. And your confirmation number is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are kept by God's power. We can rejoice even in various trials. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord when things are going great. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you have a lot of good food on your refrigerator. Blessed be the name of the Lord when your car is running right. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you have a good job or if you even have a job. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you have loss in your family. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you lose a spouse or if you lose if something that's really close to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you get sick. Blessed be the name of the Lord if you get COVID. Blessed be the name of the Lord when trials come your way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love Christ, Peter said, and believe with great faith, allowing unspeakable joy. Our souls have salvation. That's what he says. We have salvation, folks. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because of our position, we shall not be confounded in Christ. What a way to start a good letter, isn't it? But then he goes on to the second part of his letter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 22. Notice this. He talks about our perseverance. Beginning with verse 13, follow me. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorant, your former life. Don't go back there. Don't turn your back and go back to the former things, he says. But as he which has called you to is holy, so you need to be holy in all manner of conversation. Boy, I'll tell you what. The carnal part of me sometimes when I hear different things on the news and I hear things going on in the world today and I hear different things going on in our country, I have some good choice words I'd like to say, but then I say, forgive me, Lord, I didn't say them. Because I want to remain holy. I want to pray for those in authority. I want to pray for the persecution of the church in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, in China, in Korea, other places. Because it is written in verse 16, it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, Jesus said. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges every according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. No fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition by your fathers, you didn't receive your salvation. You didn't buy it with silver and gold. You didn't earn your way. It was a gift. Not because you were born because your father was holy or your mother was holy. It doesn't mean that you're going to be holy. You have to accept the gift of Jesus Christ yourself. It's a gift. No one earns their way into the kingdom of God. It's a gift. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you become holy. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Peter had it right on. He was spot on. He said Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus was there. He was foreordained by God to be our salvation. In verse 21, he says, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. He went on to say that Jesus is the truth. And Jesus himself said it, folks. He goes, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as Christians, we are called to persevere. Boy, that becomes a real trial. That becomes a real test. We need to persevere. We do not do this independent of God, but we do it because we are led by the Spirit of God. You show me a person who's standing on their own and says, I can do this by myself, and you'll see a phenomenon, because nobody can do it on their own. So the breakdown of this part of the letter of Peter, it says we must gird up the loins of our mind, meaning we are to avoid panic. No panic. Don't worry. We are not to have fear, and we are not to have distraction. Folks, if you get tired of hearing all the news, turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. Go to a quiet place. Read the Word. Hear praise music. Give glory to God. We need to stay strong. We need to be composed. Relax. Go to a cool place. And we need to be ready for action. We need to be watchmen. We need to be ready. We need to remain obedient to God above all else. You know, I think of people saying, well, we're not in the tribulation period yet, brother. I said, oh, really? Tell that to the church in the Middle East. Tell that to the church in Pakistan. Tell that to the church in India. Tell that to the church that people are being beheaded today for the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not in tribulation. He said, we don't have a hold on that here in the United States. We're a blessed people. But folks, I believe times are coming. Oh, Brother Larry, you're talking gloom and doom here. I said, you know what? We need to be like Ezekiel in Ezekiel 38, where we need to be the watchman on the wall. And we need to see what's coming our way. And we need to be prepared. Even though we have good food, we have good potluck and good things going on, we need to say, blessed be the name of the Lord when the trials come. We are called to be holy as he is holy, what Peter said in this portion of his letter. We pass our time here respecting God, accepting only his guidance for our lives. That's what he's saying. We need to love other Christians with a pure heart, laying aside antagonism, dishonesty, pretense, jealousy, and evil speaking. Christians should not be falsely accusing other Christians. Amen? Christians should be upholding one another for the sake of the gospel. Christians should not just have the pretense and say, well, I love you, but let's keep a social distance. You know, shouldn't be doing that. We need to be loving one another. No jealousy among us. Amen? No evil speaking. Because we persevere, we shall not be confounded. We need to be like modern-day Ezekiels. We need to be watchmen on the wall as things are coming our way. And then this portion of Peter's letter really talks about our privilege. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 10, he says this: "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You see, I want to add this in Ephesians. It talks about the fact that the church, the foundation of the church, was built upon the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ being the center cornerstone. Meaning, if something was written in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean it was done away with, folks. The prophets foretold. You don't throw away the prophets. If something's in the New Testament, you don't do away with the apostles. And if you do away with any of those two components, you do away with Jesus Christ. And we don't do that. Jesus is the head of the church. Not only is he a foundation of the church, but he's the head of the church. And we are the lively stones that build up the church. Let me read that again. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you see the component here? The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture. And I want you to notice this. It is contained in the Scripture: "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded." I'm not confused. I know who my Savior is. That's Jesus Christ. Is that your Savior? Here he goes in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Jesus is precious, folks. He's the Son of God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He is precious. But notice this: "But unto them which be disobedient," listen to this, "unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Here, Jesus has been disallowed in many sectors of the world, but he has become the head of the corner. And he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Folks, I'm telling you, in our great Christian nation, the name of Jesus Christ is now becoming a stone of stumbling. And it's becoming a rock of offense. "Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." You talked about in class, and I agree, that we need to gather together. We need to go to different places. We need to protest. We need to go to the absurdities of what's happening in our culture. We need to gather together. But make sure, folks, so when you do that, you wear a hard hat. And make sure you wear bulletproof vests, because we're not accepted anymore that way. We don't have free speech that way anymore. We're being persecuted, and the persecution is coming our way, folks. Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to stand for him? He says, "But you," he says, "you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, and that fits me just fine. I'm about as peculiar as they come. But here it says that you should show forth the praises of Him which has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have been called out of darkness. We have been transferred, according to Colossians, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son today. Not in the future, not in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, but we have been transferred into the kingdom of God today. And Jesus reigns in your heart as your Lord and your Savior today. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to be holy. I want us to be holy to all people. I want us, our conversations, to be one of mercy. But as we give mercy, we obtain mercy. And we're going to pay the price for it. I never dreamed in my lifetime I would see what I'm seeing today. As I think back in my life, I think I had it pretty nice. Really nice. And now we're going through a time when things are being taken away. We're going through a time where our speech is taken away. We're going through a time where maybe our worship is going to be dealt with. We're going through a time where they're starting to track everything. I don't know about you. You can call me paranoid, you know, one of those conspiracy theorist type person. But, you know, this is, you know, I've been going through lately to grocery stores and to different stores. Did you ever experience this where when you're getting to your paying to go out and they want your phone number? You ever go that? Can we have your phone number, please? No. I always say no. They say, oh, okay, no problem. But this past week, I went through three stores and they said, and I'm paying cash. And they said, I need your phone number. I said, no, I don't give you my phone number. Oh, and this one lady was looking at me, and she said, I need a number. I said, I'm paying cash. She goes, I need a number. She was getting all Twitter page, you know. She was getting there. She was freaking out. She said, I'll just put any number. I said, go ahead. I don't care. And so she did that. And another person next door I went to, they said, I need your number. No. Well, you'll get a discount if you give a number. I said, I don't care. You can have my phone number. Well, I need a number. I said, this is the carnal part of me. I almost thought about giving Pastor Brian's number, but I didn't do it. And the third store did the same thing. And I found out, it occurred to me, in order to open up that cash register, they have to put a number in. I don't want them to know what I'm buying. I don't want them to know my zip code. I don't want them to know where I'm going, coming to and fro. But those days are coming, folks. Those days are coming. And all this conspiracy theories that are going on, I'm not going to go there. I'm just letting you know right now that we need to be like Ezekiel and be watchmen on the wall, because the days are coming. Because Jesus is coming. And we need to be ready for that. Because we are new creations in Christ, children of God, and because we are spiritual, therefore eternally alive, we hold privilege. And according to this portion of Peter's letter, it says, we are lively stones. I'm excited to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I wake up every morning and I give praise to God that I'm alive for another day. Amen. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. He chose me from the foundation of the world. On the island of Patmos, Jesus told John, I am the beginning and I am the end. I know everything from the beginning. Meaning, he knew your name on the cross, folks. Did you know that? He knew your name. He knew Jeremiah when Jeremiah was still in the womb. What does that talk? Poor Jeremiah, if he would have been born, if his mother would have been pregnant during this day, you know, Mama might would have said, well, you know what? I don't want this baby little Jeremiah. So I'm going to abort him. That would have been sad. He knew John the Baptist when John the Baptist was 6 months old in his mother's belly. When Mary came and said the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb, because even the baby, 6 months at 6 months in the womb, he knew who Jesus was. We are a chosen generation. He chose me, and he wanted me to choose him. We are called into the light, and we have obtained mercy. Amen? Because we are privileged, we should not be confounded. We should not be confused. You see, Nero, he spewed forth fake news, causing Christian persecution in Peter's time. Fake news is not brand new. Fake news is going on today. Fake news is talking about these hate groups. Fake news is talking about the things that we should lose in our country. Fake news is not describing things that are going on. You know, if you were in the class downstairs, you know, those are things as a historian, that's, I love doing all of that, and most of that I already knew that they were talking about, and how, you know, nowadays they're talking about white privilege. That's not brand new. All of those things that they were talking about that they've been hiding for years and years and years, we're starting to learn those things. Fake news. Nero was causing Christian persecution in Peter's time. We're being called, let me rephrase this, we are being called to bear fake news. We have to bear it, and we have to tell people the truth about God's word. Peter felt it necessary to write this letter to the Christians to encourage them, to tell them their position in Jesus Christ. And so that letter is pertinent for us today, that we have a position. We are in Christ Jesus today. We have that position. That we are also, we hold, that we are needing to persevere. And folks, we need to persevere for the name of Jesus Christ and for what we believe in. People may give their opinions of what are happening in our society, but the best place we can go to is the Word of God. The Word of God tells me this. The Word of God tells me that. I believe in the Constitution. I read that book. Have you read the Constitution? I've read it. I know what the Bill of Rights say. I know what they say. I know what all the amendments are. I know if you want to get rid of that president, go to amendment number 25. You know, you can do all of that. But I also know we have our freedom of religion. We have our freedom of speech. And I know all of those things. But the better book that's even higher than the Constitution of the United States is the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. Nero spewed forth fake news causing Christian persecution in Peter's time. He wrote that letter. Read it today. Read the letter again. It's for us today, folks. We may be called to bear fake news concerning Christians in our generation. Whatever lies ahead, let's remember Peter's encouragement. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Hold on to the chief cornerstone. It's elect. It's precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded and not be confused. If you go on the streets today and talk to young people and college students, they're confused. A lot of college students today says, well, I think we need to write our new constitution. Oh, blows me away. I believe we need to do this. I believe we do that. Well, folks, there's only about five things I believe in. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. I believe in the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the crucifixion. I believe in the resurrection. And I believe in the Bible. Those are the things I believe in. So as believers, we have a position. Hold your position. As believers, we will persevere. We are going to win. Praise God. As believers, we have a privilege. We will not be confounded. We will not be confused. Come what may. God bless you. Pastor Brian, did you want me to close with prayer? It's okay. Stand with me, if you will. Precious Father, as we come before you, we give you the glory and honor. And dear Jesus, you are worthy. You are the Lion of Judah, of the root of David. And you are worthy to open up the books. And you gave your life for us. And you made us lively stones. You made us elect, a royal priesthood. And through your strength and your Holy Spirit, we are going to persevere. Jesus, you even said in your word, when I come back, will I find faith on earth? And we're going to say, yes, you will, because we will be here. We ask, Father, that as we are a chosen generation, that we will be called to be holy and not talk and down one another, that we will lift up one another, and we will stand our position. And our position is on the rock. Thank you for today. Thank you for life. And bless us now as we fellowship with good eating and fellowship one with another. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.